Today is Wednesday, November 24th, 2004. I'm Decoder, and this is the Motherfucking Mind War. I mean, fucking, we don't like kicking people, but I mean, shit. I got fucking things to do, places to be, you know? You know, from work tomorrow. Fucking bullshit.
Yep.
You know, no offense to fucking Ryan and Andrew, but fucking midnight, that's when we come on, you know? It's already fucking 10 after we lost half our fucking listeners. Anyway.
Oh, I guess the mind war isn't on tonight.
Yeah, right?
Fuck, you know, this is, we do have a weird schedule, though. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a little break. Monday, another break. Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird schedule. Whatever. The point is that fucking today is, you know, Wednesday, and we're doing it. We did one last night, didn't we?
Oh
yeah, that's right. We were going to record one pre-recorded. Anyway, I'm fucking Decoder, and that's Doug. And of course, this is The Mind War, www.themindwar.com. You can fucking email us, since nobody seems to want to email us, at themindwar@themindwar.com. Any fucking way. I got a special guest for today that I'm going to introduce in a minute, but I just want to get one other thing out. And what are we doing for tomorrow, Doug? Are we going to have a show tomorrow?
It is up to you. I will be here tomorrow at 9 p.m.
You'll be there at 9 p.m.? You sure?
I am 95% sure.
Because midnight on the East Coast, yeah, it's Thanksgiving and all, but, you know, I'm probably going to be done doing the whole family thing, you know?
Yeah, and I'm probably expected to be back around 7 Pacific, so I'll be back by then.
All right, but Rigel 5 is not here today, nor will he be here tomorrow.
Yeah, and he doesn't know about Friday. He's not sure yet.
Okay, Rigel 5, yeah, is spending time with his family, as would be expected during this holiday season, and, you know, so
right.
That's that. But we got a real fucking special guest today, hailing from parts unknown, my man Spin. Say what's up to the people, yeah?
Yo, what's up, people?
Should I say where you're from?
Yeah.
This is my man hailing from Queens, New York, Q Burrow, representing.
What's up, Q? Going on, Queens, Jackson Heights, Elmhurst, what's up, people?
LaGuardia Airport.
The entire, radio listenership out there, how y'all doing?
Yeah, that's it. This is going to be a New York version of this fucking show, man. Anyway, any motherfucking way. I'm sitting here, I'm almost done with my cigarette now. I don't like to do that. I want to smoke another one. But I'm drinking my Starbucks Frappuccino, as everyone should. It's good stuff. Support your fledgling businesses like Starbucks. Your local coffee breweries. Where did this shit fucking come from anyway? Who bottles this crap? It doesn't say who bottles it, but it said it's distributed by the North American Coffee Partnership.
Oh, you got a Starbucks bottled beverage.
Oh yeah, this is the Frappuccinos that you buy at your grocery stores
or cold.
Or bodegas. Yes, it's an iced Frappuccino.
Who knows who bottles that?
No, it says it right here. The North American Coffee Partnership in Purchase, New York, which is right up the block.
You think they got a Starbucks in Purchase?
They probably do. Purchase is one of those. They got a fucking SUNY up there, State University of New York, SUNY
yeah,
Purchase.
So they got at least a couple of Starbucks.
Exactly. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about today in a short period of time because we're it's almost a quarter after. But anyway, I'm not going to bitch about that. Fucking, we got some shit to talk about. First and foremost, Doug, do we have any email?
No.
No, okay. I don't know why nobody sends us email. Send us fucking email, please. You know, give us your opinions. We're going to read it on the air, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, we had a shitload of email like on Monday.
Well, that's maybe because fucking we said we weren't going to read it every day. You know what? I lied. We're going to read most of it fucking whenever it comes in. That other email we read fucking live as soon as he sent it in. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We'll send an email now. If we get it, we'll read it. Any fucking way. So there's no email. Whatever. It's fucking bullshit. Anyway, we got some stuff to talk about. We got my friend here, Spin, who's going to talk to us, and he's going to learn us some fascism. He's going to learn us a thing or three about fascism. And how it relates to your daily life. You, the fucking listener. You know what I'm saying? I know we have a lot of international listeners. But I don't know what we're going to talk about mostly. But I'm going to have to hand it off to my man Spin to let us know. School us, so to speak.
All right.
So tell us, man. Tell us about fascism.
You got it. Sorry to all the listeners if this is a little garbled. Decoder called me about 10 minutes ago and asked me to do a live radio show. I'm a radio virgin, never done this. So bear with me, people. I'm going to talk to you about fascism and totalitarianism. And what we're going to start with is historic fascism.
Well, tell us what fascism is.
Sure.
In case nobody knows.
Okay. Fascism, what is fascism? Actually, right there, the question already jumps into the political realm. The answer to that question is not easy.
Exactly.
In the scholarly community, amongst professional academicians, professional thinkers, basically, fascism is very often described as the system that was in place in Europe in many countries in the 20s and 30s, Italy, Germany, their satellite nations, and so forth.
Yeah.
And so if you make a statement like the U.S. is becoming fascist, or you want to talk about fascism in the modern world, they'll automatically... People with that mindset will automatically say fascism is a historical event in human history. It does not exist now. It existed in the 20s and 30s. You can say that these systems are fascist-like, but fascism, something that came and gone with the Nazis, with Mussolini, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I take a different opinion. This is not to talk down to these people or anything. To a certain extent, they're right. But basically, I look at political systems typologically. I look at their fundamentals. I look at what's behind the passing changes, and I think that fascism appears to be a type which can occur in many countries and many times,
in many forms,
in many forms, and it's a specifically modern type of government. Fascism, historically, in the 20s and 30s, it appeared to be the natural continuation of European, really European civilization. Really, it appeared to be a continuation of the Middle Ages, a society which was fundamentally unitary, fundamentally together. Everybody was one under the church. This was the idea.
Hmm.
And everybody would be one under the state, under fascism.
In the same way, yeah, exactly.
Right. And fascism sort of tries to paper over or tries to deal with the rise of classes, the rise of the modern world, which creates industrialized classes, workers, capitalists, but also many gradations of workers, so that you have, you know, what the orthodox Marxists would call a lumpen proletariat, the person totally on the bottom, the crackhead, you know, the inner city, like, black with no education, the drug addict, somebody who's just there to scare the shit out of everybody else.
Yeah, well, is that really their role in that society?
But then you have other gradations of workers. You have, you know, you have people who work, you know, for little wages but still have jobs, and then you have people who make six figures but are still subject to their boss, you know, their boss's whims. But basically, you have classes. You have classes, and fascism sort of, it purports, what it says it does, is that these classes are not as important as the whole. And that we're all, and then it gives a national whole. An Italian, you know, we are an Italian people, we are a German people. This is historical fascism. Nowadays, you might say, we are an American people. But, of course, you have to define what that means. You have to define, and when you do so, you always leave people out, you know. But in any event, fascism in the 20s and 30s, it comes about as a shock, as a reaction of the people in a completely, they were bewildered and they were poor. There was a depression and you had new things changing the society. You had massive people moving to the cities. You had people dealing with unemployment. If you live on a farm, unemployment is not the same thing as if you live in a city. You know, any American, like, can tell you about unemployment. 200 years ago, that would have been a different case. And so forth. You had, in the modern day, you have many more immigrants coming into prosperous nations, although that wasn't necessarily true in the 20s and 30s. But you have wide-scale social shifts. You have everything from women being educated to, you know, whatever. And the average person looks at what has worked and says, why don't we make it work now? And that's why fascism is very deceptively conservative, and it appeals to conservative principles. It's sort of, that's why you have this distinction of populist versus progressive, the idea of the leftist man of the people, and then the idea of sort of the populist or sort of almost rightist, almost fascist, really, man of the people, the Christian right, the red states, you know, where they're sort of trying to pull out this whole, like, we're all American image, and yet you also have the leftists who are out there for the people, too. So fascism appeals to, you know, to one of these groups, and obviously not another one. And basically, the reason it does this is that fascism builds upon the prior model. The prior model was national, at least in European and Western society. It was national. Before the fascist period, in the 16th, 17th, 1800s, in the 1900s, you had national states emerging. And you know, we can talk about that for years, you know, about the formation of that and all this sort of thing. But basically, up until the 1920s, you had Italy, you know, that was more or less on its way to a distinct nationhood. You had not necessarily Germany, actually, to a certain extent, but let's say many fascist satellites, for example, Austria, for example, Hungary, and that sort of thing, where the people could sort of, they had been together for so long, for so many centuries, that they began to view themselves as a nation. Except that, of course, in the modern world, the nation is breaking down. In the modern world, the nation is breaking down, but fascism and neo-fascist ideals still appeal to this idea of the nation, so that you still have America. But the thing is, when you look at power, when you look at political and economic power, the power that is wielded today by those who have it, by those who are in control, goes much broader than the nation. It grows much
globalist.
Broader than the nation. It's completely global.
Like,
sure.
if you could, you, like, I was discussing this with some of our friends last night about the EU, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is France still France without the franc? Germany still Germany without the Deutschmark? When you have these globalists with these banks and this monetary system, it's not really the case. Europe is Europe. And how does it, you know, how would that relate, in a sense, to a people's national identity?
Exactly.
When the money that's in their pocket, that's the basis of everything they do, you know what I'm saying, isn't really theirs.
Right. And that builds on to the larger question that if you believe, even if you don't believe, the orthodox Marxist perspective, of course, is that economics determines existence. So that, you know, that the, and by economics, of course, we don't mean like just what the, you know, the bond traders on Wall Street and Alan Greenspan and all these people do, but economics in sense of work, money, resources, that determines your existence, that consciousness and what you feel comes after that. Even if you don't believe that,
Whether you believe it or not. That's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I mean, I agree.
If you don't believe in something, it still can affect you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. No, but what I'm getting at is that there are some people who do believe that ideology precedes economics, that you can have, for example, I could know somebody who's a Muslim, and their ideology is Islam, but they're forced to live under a capitalist economy. And
I think that the economics might fucking have a greater bearing on their everyday life than their ideology.
Absolutely.
Whether it's forced or not, you know what I'm saying?
Right. No, absolutely, absolutely. That's a very important question about human nature. You know, is essentially what makes us what we are. But even if you believe that you can have a spiritual and social and human existence apart from your economic life, it's still important. It's still a big deal. And I totally forgot what I was getting.
fascism relating to America currently.
Right. Oh, and the Europeans and their money. That's right. So the point is that the Europeans understand, you know, and many Europeans are socialists. Many Europeans are pious religious people. Well, maybe not many, a few. They exist, but nonetheless, the Europeans recognize. They do recognize that at this moment, their existence is determined outside merely of their national borders. That it's not just the people in their capital, in Berlin and Paris and what have you, in Madrid, that make the decisions, but the decisions affect a larger region, and the decisions that affect that larger region will affect them.
And especially with a central European bank, I mean, these people are going to start dictating fucking policies within different countries.
Oh, the other day, Europe just created an army independent of NATO.
Yesterday. What are they calling that?
I don't remember. Some ridiculous, like, 20th century acronym, bunch of letters. It means, like, European Defense Forces, you know.
God. But independent of NATO.
Independent of NATO.
That was an eventuality with a central European bank. That was an eventuality. You have the bank. You need somebody to protect it.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And is the military in France or the military in Germany or the military in Italy going to defend the European bank? Probably not.
Right. Absolutely. You also have competition with the U.S. The U.S. alone is just by itself, without Mexico, without Canada, without its holdings. The U.S. is the size of the European continent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to compete with that, you can't do it on the level of, you know, Belgium.
Yeah. Speaking of Belgium, we have a listener out there in Belgium. What was his name? Fireblade.
Hello, Monsieur Le Belge.
Hopefully he's listening right now.
All right. There you go.
There you go.
Shout out en français. But the Europeans dealt with fascism. You see, the Europeans did deal with fascism. They looked at these changes, which in the 20s were the same changes as now. You know, they were really the 20th century, even running before the 20th century and after until today. You see the same changes occurring at different rates in all countries, but they're the same changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Europeans, they fell for fascism, and they believed that a national solution could do it. And so you have in Germany this idea that fascism is national socialism. That's what the Nazi Party was, the National Socialist German Workies' Party.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty fucking cool. I'd vote for somebody who was the National Socialist American Party, you know.
I probably would. You get tricked into it.
Right, but the fact is that the decisions and the power exist at a level greater than the nation. And they did in the 20s, and they do now. And the Europeans learned the lesson, but not everybody has learned the lesson, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to think globally for the simple fact this is not some new age, like, we'll feel good about, like, people in Brazil and, like, all this stuff. I mean, it's reality, you know. Like right now, since the 90s, they've been sending intellectual work overseas. Since the 60s, they've been sending manufacturing labor overseas. You know, since the 1500s, they've been sending plantation work and mining work overseas. Anything they can send overseas, they'll send overseas, and that means you're competing with those workers.
Exactly.
You're absolutely competing with those workers. Some guy in India, you know, who worked for a third of your wage, but he speaks English.
Answers the phone for AOL.
Sure.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you gotta understand that solutions to these global problems do not exist in a national level. But that's what fascism appeals to. It appeals to the idea of of we can have a national solution, we can have a last-ditch attempt. Now, fascism in America is an interesting thing. First of all, I think fascism, pure fascism, I think, will never occur in America. And the reason is that I make a distinction amongst totalitarian systems. I think that totalitarianism is the real issue. Totalitarianism, of course, is a state, a regime, more a regime than a state, more an ideology, a zeitgeist than a state.
Yes.
Which basically says that it has the right and takes upon itself the power to tell you everything you can do, not just what concerns it. You know, if the state is going to build roads, then it could tell you maybe you can't drive a tank on your road because the treads will destroy the pavement.
Or you can't drive over a certain speed.
Right. Sure. I mean, it's and you can argue about these points too, but it's certainly the state's prerogative. It's not the state's prerogative if I want to smoke grass in my living room. It's just
but
not.
It is, though.
Well, it you see, the second part of that is, of course, that the state takes upon itself the power to jump in there.
Which is what's happening today.
Which is absolutely what's happening today.
And, you know, don't get me fucking misunderstood, though. It's not just starting now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This has been going on in America since the 20s and 30s.
Sure.
You know, I mean, this isn't a new idea. It may be a little more visible today based on the fact that more people are more educated, you know what I'm saying, and have these alternative media choices to listen to instead of the propaganda that you get on your television, you know what I'm saying, or in the New York motherfucking Times.
Right.
And whether it be leftist propaganda or right-wing propaganda, it really... It doesn't make that much of a fucking difference. A lie is a lie, regardless of what they're lying to you, how they're doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also you're seeing new forms of propaganda. You know, you're seeing a new form of totalitarianism which we aren't so expected to be able to encounter. I think if the Americans encountered a purely like German style fascism, you know,
we'd notice
Duke, if David Duke became the president.
Yeah, we'd notice.
And we'd kick him out and we'd be pissed at him.
But this distinct American brand of fascism is a little harder to notice just based on the fact that, like you said before, about nationalist ideals.
Right.
It's something that people think is part of being an American.
Right.
Which really it's debatable, you know what I'm saying?
And the fundamental part of being an American, like it or not, you know, but this is our history, is that we have a weak government that does not protect the people against the powerful, against the corporations, against the very rich, against what are real special interest groups, and not, you know, like blacks who don't want to be at, you know, 30% unemployment, but like a real, like, actual special interest group that has nothing to do with you and I, you know, lobbying for government money, that essentially... We have a weak government, and so to be part of this American style totalitarianism, you don't have a strong government like in Germany, and you never will. You will not have a government that has the power to just declare everything. So, you will. I mean, although that exists to a certain extent, like the people in Guantanamo are not going to fucking, you know, agree with what I just said.
Well, yeah.
That they certainly have the power to do. They do have the power to do as they please. That's the thing about government. But in order to perpetuate this lie, in order to make it really efficient, in order to make it pay, you allow a certain amount of freedom so that whereas in German and Italian fascism, you had this great pretense at a government. The idea conceptually was that the government restrained the class war and that the state, the government, the state, restrained the exploitation of the poor by the rich. And it also restrained the demand for equality and self-respect by the poor, that essentially everybody was given enough to eat, and that would be good enough. The United States doesn't have that history. That would look, people would call that kind of government, you know, red and communist and
exactly.
All kind of shit about it.
We have a completely different little way of life
right.
Here, where the government does not protect you from those things.
Right.
They don't protect you by it, and under the guise of freedom.
Sure.
And is that really freedom? To say that, well, you know, we're a free society. These big, huge corporations can fuck you over if they damn well please.
Well, free to starve, right?
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you often have to get into the distinction, which a lot of Americans don't realize, between freedom and liberty. And I think maybe a well-educated English person would know the distinction. Any person in the Roman Empire would know the distinction.
Why don't you explain?
Freedom is an empowerment. Freedom is the ability to do what you will, essentially. And the more free you are, the more you can do. Liberty has a sort of is a restrained. Liberty is the idea that nothing can happen to you that is not allowable, you know, by right.
Mm-hmm.
That you have rights. Liberty is the idea that you're secure in your rights, but it does not have with it this idea of a positive freedom where you can do because you're empowered and you're free to do.
Liberty is the list of things you can't do.
It's a list of things you can't do, and it's an imposition of things they can't do to you.
Exactly. While freedom is a completely different thing, meaning that, you know, you wouldn't need these liberties if you had freedom.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? The reason you need liberties is because you are not free.
Absolutely. And liberties are always won from the free with struggle.
Mm-hmm.
The truly
exactly.
free are the elite. The truly free are the powerful, and they always have been.
Yeah, and they will
no
continue
one
to be.
To you, right. If no one answers to you, you're free to do as you please. And then the people bitch, and you know, depending on the level of their bitching, they get more or less liberties. Right now, because of what we were talking about a second ago, and we hope we get back to it, because of capitalist totalitarianism, because of what is analogous to fascism, what we might call fascism, we don't bitch.
Exactly.
We don't bitch. And because we've
learned to bend over and just take it.
Sure. Well,
and if we're lucky, we get the reach around, but we usually don't.
Right. We've got a very, all fascisms are beneficial. You know, all people, wide numbers of people always support totalitarian regimes as being in their favor. And that's very true in the United States. Even, you know, 10 years ago, before Bush and all that, you could say the same thing and it would have been just as true.
Yeah, it's no different. You know, this isn't because of one particular president. Is it because of any particular policies or any wars for that matter?
Right.
It's just the way it is in America. And unfortunately, a lot of people just have this mental block where they just don't understand that, because fucking we don't have a Führer. They think that we're not fucked, that this isn't fascism.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But of course, you have to stop and look at Germany. You know, stop and look in Germany. The Germans had a Führer, and they didn't notice their totalitarian oppression. But you have to understand, for centuries, virtually everybody in Europe was ruled by some Führer or other. Führer means leader.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not a noble title. It doesn't confer honors upon the person. It means leader. Hitler didn't call himself king. So this, to a German mind, would have been very mild.
Exactly. He's not a king. He's not any. He's a leader.
He's just our leader. The Roman emperor was the first amongst equals himself.
Mm-hmm.
Princeps means first amongst equals. It's not a noble title. In fact, the Romans would have told you they never had a king in Rome. You know, and they were proud of that fact. But the American fact, right? It runs by private power, as I was saying. It doesn't rely upon a heavy-handed state, upon a strong. It relies on what the state does not do.
Exactly.
And it relies on what private power does do.
And that's an American brand of fascism, if you will call it fascism.
Sure.
And distinctly American, because as you were saying earlier, that, you know, well, what was that quote that you were telling me before? Do you remember who said that?
Ooh,
about the way fascism works in countries?
I don't remember who said it. It was a modern thinker. I heard this very recently on the radio, but the person said that fascism is, I'm more or less paraphrasing, but this is basically what he said. He said
yeah.
Fascism is different in every country, and that American fascism will be as American as apple pie. 110% American.
Exactly.
Right. There will not be swastikas. There might be bald eagles, but not German.
Yellow ribbons.
Right. There might be yellow ribbons. Sure. Sure. But there might not be concentration camps. But, well, I mean, they've got them.
They have them, yeah. You know, there might not be humans in the concentration camps.
There might not be millions of humans in the concentration camps. There might be thousands. And you will find intellectuals right now who will tell you, well, we've only got thousands of people in, you know, inhuman detention camps hidden around the world.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're going to find these people right for the times. These, you know, these people get government jobs. You and I, our thought is totally beneath theirs in terms of reward from this society.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right, there will be the intellectuals who say that, like, well, this isn't, it's not that bad, we only have a couple of, you know, 100,000 people in these detention camps.
Compared to what the Nazis, forget it.
We're gonna start comparing it now, yeah.
You know, but what we've got, of course, we've got something they didn't have. We've got, you know, Fox News. we've got the Times, we've got everything. I mean, you know, we've got this incredible, this mind war going on.
Oh, really? I wonder why I called about the show. You know what I'm saying?
How appropriate. Yeah, we.
How appropriate, isn't it?
Between education and media, we absolutely have a mind war, and
that's the show is all about.
You don't need a concentration camp when you have a mind war.
Yeah, you know, technically you're right. You're right. That is exactly right. Regardless of the fact that there are very many detention centers that are empty right now, just waiting.
Right. So the ones in the U.S. are empty. The ones in the Guantanamo and in Diego Garcia and floating in aircraft carrier Brig.
Those have people in them. But
right.
The ones on United States soil are empty for now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you're exactly right. That's a very, very important point, that we don't need concentration camps in America because technically this whole country is the concentration camp. When you're bombarded with this, with what the media tells you, with what public education has to offer you, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's the concentration camp. We've already done it. You've been through it. You know what I'm saying? You're in it right now.
Sure. It's a more efficient form of oppression, really.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
You know, if you lock someone in a concentration camp, you can force them to be a worker, but you're only the worst quality and amount of work you're going to get out of somebody is with a gun to their back.
The problem,
you know?
though is that when you're in a prison, you can see the bars.
You can see the bars.
And there's like no denying the fact that you're there.
Right.
But when you're out in the open, pretty much under the same fucking circumstances, it's not as easy to see, to notice,
right,
and to realize.
Mm-hmm. And then you couple it. It's not just that people have this sort of. It's not just the way it is in many countries. You know, and I speak. I live in Queens, as the listenership should have remembered if they paid attention from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But Queens is the most diverse. Probably the most diverse county in the U.S. Certainly, I live in Jackson Heights. I live in North Queens, which is one of the most diverse zip codes in the U.S.
Yeah, you can walk down the block and you can find people from fucking 50 different countries within 5 minutes.
Sure.
Within five
sure.
minutes.
And what these people often realize, you know, is that, like, you'll see, talking to people from different countries, you'll see that there is this idea that humans have that, like, life sucks, but, you know, we're here. Great. We'll do what we can. You know, I don't want life to suck. For example, let me be more concrete. I'm being vague. There's many Latin American people here, not just, you know, your average Latin American New Yorker who might be from DR or Puerto Rico. Not, you know, a lot of good friends in there.
We're talking about places like Nicaragua, like Panama, like fucking Honduras. You know.
Sure. Colombia, Chile, places that were very middle class until several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly. That were
shining stars in Latin America in the 70s and 80s, and there is this idea that all of them know that the reason their countries are poor is because of the U.S.
Yeah.
They all know this.
No
they
secret.
Can't do anything. They can't do anything. You know, what do you do? So life sucks, and, like, you know, if you have a chance to do better, you do better, and if you don't, life, you know, sucks. But in America, you jump out of bed in the morning. Well, you don't. But in a certain sense, you do jump out of bed in the morning. Because, and you go to work for the system. Not in the sense, I mean, nobody wants to go to work. Nobody likes their job. Everyone loves to. Americans make a bigger deal of complaining about the government than anybody, it seems.
Yeah.
And yet, if you really ask them to fundamentally, you know, flip the bucket over,
they
then
won't.
They start freaking out.
Yeah, they'll know that they're getting fucked in the ass, but they won't
right.
do anything to stop it.
Right. And in that sense, I say that they will leap out of bed in the morning and actually support the system.
Most definitely. And they all do it, whether they complain about it or not. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, there comes a point, you know, I mean, Bush got elected this time. Or well, he may or may not have. He may or may not have.
Well, we did have a discussion on a previous episode about the company named called Diebold and their CEO.
And I'll promise you, Ohio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, regardless if he got elected, the fact remains that a shitload of people didn't.
People voted for him.
Yeah, a shitload of people voted for him, about fucking 10 times as many that really should have if they had their own interest, their own best interest in mind.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? When you choose someone fucking to be the president of your fucking country, to lead your fucking country, don't do it based on these ideologies that you have, on these fucking abstract fucking thoughts that you have about fucking abortion or fucking motherfucking a war. Do it in your own best interest. What's good for you? Who will be good for you? Not what you think, what you do. Fuck what you think, because as you said at the beginning of the show, that fucking there are those who think that their ideology and that their spirituality, it defines themselves before their economics. But I don't believe that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I believe that it's fucking what is good for you economically, because fucking you could pray for food and it ain't gonna come. You're gonna starve. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what you can think you should have food on your table, but ideally you would like to, that you think you should have food on your table ideally doesn't make it realistically happen. So it is your economics that comes before that. But unfortunately, when people fucking back fucking politicians, they do it based on their ideology and not on fucking what's going on in their everyday life and who's going to help them and who isn't and what would better them their lives and what wouldn't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that sort of brings up, you know, that sort of brings up the big problem. What the hell do you do with these people?
I don't know. I mean, like, so 55 million people voted for Bush. Are those 55 million people fucking the elite and the super rich? No.
Right.
Because
yeah,
if there was 55 million of them, they wouldn't be that elite.
Exactly. Exactly.
So maybe 5 million of those people are the elite, the super rich, the people who have a vested interest in having George Bush in office.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I work in a law firm in Manhattan, and we are the people I work with are, you know, very well paid. I was going to say elite, but every lawyer thinks they're elite. They're well paid New York lawyers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they make six figures, if not seven. And
which isn't that elite anymore, you know?
Which isn't that elite anymore, but you know, you save it over a lifetime, you wind up with a nice chunk.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you know how to wear the suit, you know who to talk to. These guys all voted for Kerry.
Yeah, well, that's because it's New York. New York is traditionally fucking leftist, and they vote on New Yorkers love to vote locally on Republicans and fucking nationally on Democrats.
That's
I mean,
true.
Your senators and your fucking congressmen in New York are going to be fucking are going to be fucking Democrats, but your mayors and your governor are going to be fucking, and your assemblymen, your guys who are doing shit local for you are going to be Republicans.
That's true.
While the people who are doing things for you nationally are going to be Democrats. That's just the way the state works.
And if I would like to sort of come out of way left field right now and tie that into like a little bit about this, in a certain sense, you do praise. I think we should praise the people for that, and we should to a certain extent praise these morons who vote for Bush. Because these are people who are willing to suck it up and do what's right. Because very few people really look at Bush and say, this guy's, you know, a real leader. This is what we need. You know, I mean, he's obviously an idiot. I mean
there's really
moron.
Someone once said to me that, you know, George Bush isn't as stupid as you think he is. And I said, well, that's pretty good, because I fucking think he's really fucking stupid. So if he's not as stupid as I think he is, like, you know, fucking, I should hope so, because if he is as stupid as I think he is, I don't know how he fucking forms sentences.
Right.
I don't know how he remembers to breathe, you know?
Right. Right. But they'll still vote for him, and it's a certain impartiality they have. It's a certain, it's a certain goodwill they have. You know, it's this idea. They people believe in stuff like, you know, we can have a system where we vote for Democrats in national elections and Republicans in local elections because, you know, hey, it's balanced. You know, balance is good.
And that's true, too, and for especially a state like New York. It's the way it works. I mean, the mayor of New York is Republican. The last mayor of New York was Republican. The governor of New York is a Republican. Most of your fucking assemblymen and people who do shit locally to you in most of the state of New York, not just, of course, New York City, because if it happens in New York City, that's a big thing. And the rest of the state, of course, it also happens that your local guys are all Republicans. Your local mayors, your fucking city councilmen and shit like that. But fucking Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And everybody in New York voted for Kerry. Because on a national level, they put these Democrats in there.
Yep. Yep. And it essentially, it shows if the people of New York, for example, or any of, like, many of our more thinking fellow citizens, only voted for Democrats or only voted for Republicans,
there'd be something wrong. Yeah,
they would feel something wrong. You see, that's what I'm getting. They would feel something wrong. We in America, we very much understand. We very much understand this idea of that a single party, a single locus of control over everything, is imbalanced and improper, and it's wrong. And so you can have this, but what we don't often understand is that. Oh, I gotta take a piss. Man. Holy shit!
Yeah, we're about to end this real soon, anyway. So get this thought out.
What we don't understand. Is that it can be just as monolithic if you have a single set of ideas, you know, and then you get into the fact that Kerry and Bush didn't deviate much from the ideas. You know, they were, I mean, I'm not saying that people just vote for Bush or Kerry because, you know, one is one party and not the other, and they want to have, you know, a variety of people or something like that. But you have to look at the pattern overall. You have to look at what these people are doing, and right, private power. And so the point is that there is this idea that a monolithic government is wrong. We probably will never lose completely an opposition party, no matter how weak. But you will never, at least if the powers that be have their say, you will never question private power. The real monolith is not the Republican Party. The real monolith, I mean, the real monolith is the Constitution.
Yeah.
But the real monolithic power is way above and beyond the party system. Even to say that both parties are in the same team is already like simplifying things.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It is simplifying it to say that they're both in the same team. Well, that's going to be up enough for the. That's going to have to be it for this fucking show because it's 10 to 1, and we've been going like 40 minutes.
Dude.
Yo.
Fucking, I just saw this in the IRC on fucking Rant Radio or whatever. Someone posted this.
Yeah.
USA Patriot Act 2 would make news gathering a crime.
Yeah, well, it already is. We'll get into that fucking for about 2 seconds. There's the guy who, I don't know the particulars, but he was a journalist. He refused to reveal his sources on FBI leaked documents.
Right.
And fucking, he's going to jail for it. It already is a crime. Patriot 2 will have nothing to do with that. It is already a crime. News is a crime. This show could be a crime coming soon, but we're going to fucking have to end it. We've been going fucking way too long. We started 10 minutes late, and we're fucking early, 20 minutes over. It's 10 to 1. We got to get the fuck out of here. If Doug's playing the music right now, you should be hearing Black Sabbath, Killing Yourself to Live. Is anybody hearing that, Doug?
In a few seconds.
Okay, so in a few seconds, you're going to be hearing Black Sabbath, Killing Yourself to Live. I believe that was on the album Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. Finn, is that correct?
Wow, it's on the internet for free.
Oh, fuck you. It's on the internet for free. Okay, Killing Yourself to Live, I believe, if my memory stands correct, it was fucking on the album Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, 1973.
By D.
Side B, apparently. Well, I have it on vinyl, yeah. Anyway, fucking shit. Yeah, we went way over, but this was definitely a good episode. Doug, you got any shout-outs? Really? That many?
Yeah, I got a lot.
Give some shout-outs.
I have none.
None?
I never do.
Shut the fuck up. Get out of here. Keep playing your song. Fucking Ben.
Yo.
You got any shout?
Yo, shout out to the whole Boom Platoon, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Rise, shout out to the Russian, shout out to Lux, shout out to all the tree dealers working hard. Shout out shout out to Slap, yo, shout out to Tone, shout out to whoever, yo, shout out to all you people listening, and shout out to you people with your minds open, and shout out to Decoder and Doug for putting me on and for putting this on.
No doubt, no doubt. And my shouts today go to Smokehouse from Rant Radio, and that's about it for today. And of course, shout out to Finn for being here. Wait, what'd you say?
I said, what up, Smokehouse?
Yeah. And shout out to your boys, the Goon Platoon. Do they have a website?
Not yet. I'll hook you up with some promotional info when that gets moving.
Yeah, definitely hook me up. We'll see if we get a website together for the Goon
Albums
Platoon.
Albums are dropping.
So shouts to them. Who's dropping?
Albums.
Albums are dropping from who?
Rise, but you don't know. You know Rise's real name, but you don't know Rise's Rise. I'll have to put you on after the show.
Okay.
VTech.
Yeah, VTech. When's he coming out?
I don't know, man. He just moved and shit. He's up in camp. He hasn't been to the studio in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, albums are dropping. The Goon Platoon. Of course, shouts to Smokehouse. Shouts to Rant Radio. And shouts to Roger, who couldn't be here today.
Hey,
so, yeah, that's it. This is the fucking mind war. The real conspiracy is the official story. We're not. I don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. You're just going to have to tune in and find out. Who knows? Only time will tell later, motherfuckers.